dispelling the jealous. You can root out jealousy if you can practice rejoicing. So each time Buddha's teachings are, each time there is a solution to destroy one negative force, one defilement. If we count the defilement, Buddha said there are 84,000 defilements within us. 84,000 defilements. Now, each and every defilement has a solution to destroy that. So Buddha's teachings are also, if we count 84,000 teachings, because they are the antidote of 84,000 defilement. So here, rejoicing is the antidote of being jealous. You can root out jealous through rejoicing. By seeing the good qualities of the people, you rejoice. That will help you to accumulate a great merit. Through that you can purify. Through that you can gain knowledge. Through that you can increase your wisdom power. And then slowly the wisdom power grows up and the negative will go down. And it will finish, rooted out. It can be rooted out. And whole quality of the wisdom will blossom. Then at that time you are Buddha. So through the practice of rejoicing, you can become Buddha also. Okay. Prostration, offering, confession, then rejoicing. Then comes now requesting to turn the wheel of Dharma. Fifth one, requesting to turn the wheel of Dharma. Now requesting Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, or requesting your teacher, saying that please kindly turn the wheel of Dharma. Means please preach the Dharma. Give the teachings. It is necessary that you have to request. Because Dharma is the only way to root out ignorant. Ignorant is the root of all the defilement. So here it means if you really wanted to destroy your ignorance, you must request your teacher to give the teachings and try to understand the meaning of Dharma. Try to know the path of teachings. Try to understand it. If you don't have faith and devotion to your teacher, then normally you think that you are bigger than your teacher. So that's why you won't request your teacher. Saying that, oh, what's the use of requesting him? Because I know better than him. You think that way. So don't think that way and try to request all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and especially those teachers who came here in this samsara in a form of human being, even though they are Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, but they do come here in the form of human being and used to give the teachings and guide the beings from doing bad things. Try to lead them towards Buddhahood, just to obtain the highest level. So here, whenever you find any kind of problems, any kind of doubt, then it is necessary that you have to go to your teacher and request him to teach. Tell him to turn the wheel of Dharma. During the time of Buddha, Buddha became enlightened under the Bodhi tree in India, that is in Bodh Gaya. So, as soon as he became Buddha, fully enlightened, then he did not give the teachings. Because he knows everything, past, present, future, and he just thinks here that he knows everything, and there is no student who can bear his teachings. Nobody will give faith to him. So that is why he did not preach for 49 days. He became enlightened on the full moon day of the fourth month according to Tibetan calendar. Fourth month, full moon day. Sagadawa. He became enlightened at that time. And from there, full moon day means 15. In calendar, it's a 15. That means fourth month, 15, that is full moon day. From there onwards, for 49 days, he did not preach. He remained near the Bodhi tree, roaming here and there, and he has some important work to be done there, and each 7 days, he changed the place. That means for 7 weeks, he did not preach. Because it doesn't mean that Buddha shows that he is really very great or he is very big. If no one is there to request him to preach that dharma, he don't want to preach the dharma. It doesn't mean that way. But Buddha did not preach because his teaching is really very precious. He know that now. He knows omniscient. He knows everything now. Now at that time, the king of God's realm, the Brahma and the Indra, normally in Hindu they say that Brahma is the creator of this universe. They say according to their teachings. And Indra is the god of rain, one who gives the rain. So these two gods are the king of gods. So they came down from the god realm and went to Bodh Gaya and just took three circumference to Buddha, three rounds to Buddha, and request them, kneeling down before Buddha and requested to kindly preach the Dharma. They requested him. And then, it doesn't mean that Buddha, if a poor person requests him, it doesn't mean that Buddha will not preach that. But Buddha's teaching is really precious. So that is why a person who is requesting should be really very high. That shows that respecting to the Dharma. It doesn't mean that Buddha is not so compassionate. If some beggars, they request Buddha, then the Buddha will not preach. Not like that. But the highest person in this sansar, the most powerful being in this sansar, are two, three gods. So they are the king of God. They come down and they offer. Now during that period, they offer the conch. You know the white conch? Blowing. One conch. The Dharma Chakra. And all those precious things were offered to Buddha at that time. Dharma conch symbolizes to kindly preach, turn the wheel of Dharma. So requesting to Buddha, then Buddha accepted that. Yes, now I will preach. Then he went to Varanasi. Varanasi is If you go from Bodh Gaya to Varanasi by train, it will take 8-9 hours. Or longer than that, I think so. If you take bus, it will take whole one night. So, Buddha went from Bodh Gaya to Varanasi to preach the Dharma now. And when he went there, he know that now his disciples, the first five disciples are there in Varanasi. Those five disciples who left Buddha when Buddha was meditating in Bodh Gaya, and when he was meditating there, then they saw that Buddha has broken their laws in the forest. So they left Buddha alone there and they went away from Bodh Gaya and they went to Varanasi. They don't like Buddha. But Buddha became already awakened. He became enlightened. He became Buddha now already. But he is so kind, especially to those who are giving troubles. He is more kind. So he wanted to preach to those persons who are giving the troubles. Since many lives here. So he went there. And when he reached at Varanasi, these five disciples, they so far of place, they saw that Buddha is coming from there. And they decided that now we will not respect Buddha. We won't stand him up if he comes this way. When, say, the disciples, when a teacher comes, disciple stands up, that means a great respect. It's a great respect. It's taught in Buddha's teachings. So, they also said that, oh, Buddha is coming there now, we won't wake up when he comes here. They said that way. But when Buddha comes nearer and nearer, now he is not an ordinary person. He is fully awakened. So that is why when he reached nearby, because of his qualities of body now, completely extraordinary, when they saw him immediately, with deep faith, they have to stand up and bow down before Buddha. And then Buddha started giving the teachings to five disciples. Now Buddha has only five disciples. It doesn't mean that Buddha is not a good teacher because he has only five students. It doesn't mean that way. During the time, there are countless gods and goddesses who are also listening in the skies. They are listening to Buddha. Buddha used to preach to those five persons and there are many deers. If you go to Varanasi, still that place, there is a zoo. There are many deers. Those deers are the lineage, they are the right descendant of those deers during the time of Buddha. Still many deers are there. If you go there, you can enjoy, see that. That's not an ordinary one. So Buddha preached his first sermon when it is, we say, Tibetan, it's popularly known as Thubba Tishi. Fourth day of sixth month. Thubba Tishi means fourth day of sixth month. You just count from the full moon day or the fourth month. From there, 49 days, exactly 49 days, he preached first sermon. So, here we are talking about the turning of, requesting to turn the wheel of Dharma. So, Buddha was requested by the two kings of the God's realm. They requested him to preach the Dharma. So, in that way, that is necessary. We must request our teachers, we must request our root gurus, we must request all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to preach, to turn the wheel of Dharma. That is necessary. Without requesting, all the teachers, they won't teach you. It is necessary to request them to turn the wheel of the Dharma. So that is why, through that now, you can accumulate a lot. For example, you requested to give the teachings, so it benefits to many people. So like that. It is beneficial. If you want request, he won't teach. He says, well, come here, I want you to teach. Normally the teacher won't say that way. It's the duty of the disciples to request him to teach this and that. So normally the kind-hearted, the compassionate teachers, they are always ready to teach. So it is necessary to request. So through requesting to turn the wheel of Dharma, you can root out the ignorance so that you can understand the meaning of Dharma. After turning the wheel of Dharma, you can understand, you can destroy your ignorance, and it can develop your wisdom. So, requesting to turn the wheel of Dharma can root out ignorance. That is the solution of destroying one defilement. Okay, then comes 6th one now. 6th one is talking about requesting your master to remain in this samsara for the benefit of living beings. Right? So, you just imagine, there are many Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And those Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they used to come in this world in the form of human, in the form of animal. In the different forms, they do come here. They come in the form of monk. They come in this samsara in the form of nun. They also come in the form of women. They also come in the form of laymen. They also come in a form of beggars now. No matter how big his position, no matter his race, caste, creed, doesn't matter. But they are the incarnation of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. They do come here in this samsara for the benefit of living beings. But we the living beings, we, the disciples, we used to judge that, oh, that's a big, famous teacher, so we must go under him. He's not a famous, so we don't want to go after him. He's not so learned, so we don't want to learn from him. He's learned, so we must go and receive some teachings. We judge the person that way. But that is not the right way of judging. Even though judging is not good, Buddhas may come in a different form. You just imagine the teacher of Milarepa is Marpa. And Marpa's teacher is Telopa. Narupa and Telopa. You just imagine now Telopa. Who is Telopa? He is a fisherman. If you judge outerly, he is a fisherman, then if you go on judging a person from outside, then you won't get any teachings from a good teacher. Because Telopa, normally he used to spend his life in a form of fisherman. So Marpa thought that he wanted to go to India, and he from Tibet, he went to India in search of learning, in search of Buddha's teachings, in search of a good teacher. And he know that there is Telopa, a great yogi, great practitioner. He is a real Buddha now. And Marpa went from place to place in search of Telopa. And one day he reached nearby a big river bank, and he asked many people saying that, where is great yogi Telopa? Most of the people, they said, no, there is no yogi Telopa. But we know that there is a fisherman Telopa. But he says, no, that is not my teacher. So in this way, because he don't have the faith in that position. And at last, when he saw that there is a fisher Telopa, he wanted to see the fisher Telopa. And he saw that. and Fisher Delova is catching a fish. And as soon as he catches a fish, he used to fry in the fire and he used to eat it immediately. As soon as after finishing eating that flesh, he just threw the stone, the bones of the fish into the water and just he said, just like this, and the fish again goes in the water. And he was surprised. That means, now you just imagine, if you are, you don't like a fisherman, then you won't get. If you treat that your Daloba is a great person, not like fisherman, then you won't get any good teacher. Now, he is in a form of poor fisherman. He is very thin, odd-looking, ugly-looking, something. As he can, if he wakes up, he will fall down, something like that. Very poor, but not like that. Innerly, he is the Buddha himself. So don't judge a person from outside. So Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, incarnation, they too come in the sansa for the benefit of the living beings. But we used to judge that way. That is why we won't get the right teacher. Now, those people who used to come for the benefit of living beings, they found that living beings are really, they are not so thoughtful. They don't know who are the good teachers. So they became tired, all those great teachers. They became tired. They became sad. Now they wanted to go away from this sansara. They decided to go away from sansara. So at that time, it is necessary to request him, saying that, please stay here with us. Please give us your teachings. We want you. Don't go away from this sansara. Be with us. Stay here. Don't go in the parinirvana. That means don't go away from this sansara to your putas pure land. Please help us. Please be with us. Remain here. That is one kind of practice, saying, requesting your teacher to remain long, live long. You must say, you must request to your teacher to live long. And then give the teachings. That is necessary. So in seven branch practice, that is one of it. Requesting your teacher not to go away from this sansara. Be with us. Remain here and give your teachings. We need your teaching. We need you here. Don't go away. You must request that way. That is necessary. Without that, the teachers become tired and they will go away. So that is why requesting him to be with you. That is one of the points. If you do that way, that can root out your reverse point of view. Reverse point of view. In Tibetan we say lokta. That means you judge outerly and you don't know the real teacher, but you, those persons who are big names, who don't have good knowledge within, you think that he is very famous, so you go under him. He is not a good teacher, but you went there. Yes, it doesn't mean that a big name is bad. Big name is good. It can, if he has a big name, and if he is a real teacher, definitely excellent. I'm not saying that way also that is bad. But we should not judge a person from outerly. The person, what he is teaching is important. The person is not important. So through that, you must request to him to give the teachings. Then it is useful. And he will also think for the living beings, saying that, oh, now many of them need me. Many of them need me, so that's why it's better to stay. And if you look, see in the biographies of many great masters, they do like that. Even Buddha himself, you just imagine. Buddha's age is 81. 81 less 2 months. 81 years old, less 2 months. Then Many people, they request him at that time. And he prolonged his life for 2 months. Buddha can stay. If he wish, he can stay, even today also. But if he stays like that, then people think that it's a permanent, then nobody will do the practice. So that is why Buddha had to leave his body, to show that this is a teaching, impermanence. That is why Buddha normally go away. But it doesn't mean Buddha died. No. Buddha went in the parinirvana. That means he reside in the Buddha's nature. But his blessings are always with all living beings. So in this way, just to root out the reverse point of view, wrong view, you must request your teacher to live long, to live longer. Don't go away from this samsara. You came here to preach the dharma for the benefit of living beings. So please do that. Don't go away. So that is one point of practices in seven branches of prayer. Now the last one, it is talking about the dedication now, which is very important. Now the dedication, again you have to think that all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, your root guru, is in front of you in the form of refuge tree. Every extraordinary beings are present here. Your root guru. Simply you can think, your root guru, who is the inseparable of all those Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. You think that way. And now, whatever you accumulated, any kind of merit, good merit, through prostration, through offering, through compassion practice, through rejoicing practice, through requesting your teacher to turn the wheel of dharma, through requesting your teacher to live long in this samsara, through these, if you have accumulated any kind of merit, any kind of virtuous actions, and those actions in which you accumulated from the beginningless time, those good actions, and those good actions which you accumulated in this present life, and those good accumulations which you are going to accumulate in the near future, and whatever the good or virtuous actions you are going to accumulate, may these accumulations, you just dedicate it for all living beings. You share it to all living beings. You don't think that this is only for you, but you just share it to all living beings. You have to think that I'm doing this to attain the fully enlightenment. Try to dedicate your accumulation, good accumulation, of merit and wisdom for all the living beings, for the benefit of them, and to attain fully enlightenment. That is necessary. If you that way, then you just sealed that good accumulations. After sealing, nobody can destroy that. In the bank also, when we put the money, then we lock it. Then nobody can take out. So after accumulation, if you dedicate it for all living beings, it is sealed. When you send the bags and baggages in the aeroplane, then the officers, they used to seal there so that nobody can break that. That means sealing means that if you dedicate whatever you had accumulated, any kind of merit, you dedicate it for the benefit of living beings. To attain the enlightenment, then through that dedication, nobody can destroy your merit. If you won't do this dedication, for example, there's an example. If you throw one drop of water on a dry scent, it dissolves into that and dries up very quickly. But if you put that one drop of water into the ocean, that even though it is so small, even though the drop is very small, but it won't dry up until destroying all the oceans. So long as the ocean is there, your drop will remain there. So,